some, get some, bad enough, take some. Hello, welcome to episode 72 of Fangin' the Bang with Gangrel and Raymond over there in the dark corner. I keep going MIA, Raymond. I keep disappearing. Life keeps swirling and circling, and I want to say it's draining me down and draining me to the drain down the toilet, but I'm still hanging in here. What's going on with you?
Well, just hanging in there too.
Oh, yeah. You been to Japan and back since I've seen you last?
Yeah.
What we have I seen you since you've been back from Japan?
Yeah.
Oh, I did?
Yeah.
We talked about that already, too, so I got nothing to talk about then. We'll just wrap this up and get on out of here and get home.
I mean, what have you been up to?
I don't know. I have grandchildren in my life now. They were living on the other coast. They're back on this coast. One's 8 and the other one's 4. And, man, I don't have enough energy. I took them to... they had to get shoes, so I made the dreaded mistake of taking them myself. No wing person, no Susan, nobody to help me. I just took them two into the Foot Locker outlet over at Nike, and that was the biggest mistake I made in my life. They wore me out. There were shoes flying off the shelves left and right. Man, I wish I would have cut a promo. I wish I would have cut a promo as good on SmackDown back in 99 as I did on them in that Foot Locker. But they put those shoes back really quick, and I got their attention. I think I got half the Foot Locker's attention. And then we rode it on out, and then the second event was on the Panda Express. But that went much better after the Foot Locker, after the Foot Locker promo. I'm pretty sure they thought I was a real vampire after that.
Yeah, aren't you?
No. No, I was a real vampire. I wouldn't be tired right now or dead or stumbling on words or half asleep. But what's going on? Oh, I am closer to proof, though. I was talking to Leatherface, one of the Leatherfaces from Japan and stuff, that was there with I always say it's the karate guy, but it turns out he wasn't a karate guy. He was a kickboxing champion, the one I got in the shoot with, the fight. Uh-huh. He was a kickboxing champion, and he says he still has the footage on VHS, and he's going to dig it out and find it. So
Where is he located?
Oh, like Winnipeg or not Winnipeg, but Saskatchewan or something way up there in Canada.
Do a live stream one day.
What's that?
We should do like a live
interview. Oh, I thought you said we should get some ice cream one day. I was going to say ice cream sounds pretty good. A little sugar rush might work right now, yeah. I was like, well, Canada made you think of ice cream? I get that because it's so cold. But yeah, but he says he's got it deep down on some VHSs, and he still laughs every once in a while when he thinks about it. But working on getting that evidence. So, because I wrote him, and I said, I kind of think I'm crazy every time I tell the story. He just laughed. He goes, no, it was great. So, wasn't him getting kicked in the face and the ribs and the knee, but well, I didn't find it so great. But it was.
I remember some of the story. That was on your first tour in Japan, right?
No, it wasn't my first tour. My first tour was all Japan. Second tour was all Japan. Then I went back for IWA. It was probably like my 6th or 7th or 8th tour of Japan. It was a long, long story, Raymond. We went over it 100 times here. People probably listen to this all the time and don't want to hear it. But long story short, a guy grabbed me and put his finger on my butt. I got upset about it. He wanted me to lose the next day, which was fine, but he wanted me to lose to somebody that couldn't wrestle. I ended up beating that person up that couldn't wrestle, but then I lost to him. Had him throw a punch that never touched me, and I kind of maybe possibly killed off wrestling in that town in Japan. And then they brought a kickboxer, a world champion kickboxer, in to beat me up at Corrigan Hall, but it didn't work out for them. I came out on the better end of it. Long story short, but yeah. But the proof is out there, and it's in the process of being filtered. Studio hot in here today, or is it just me?
Oh, the vents are closed. I don't know why.
Oh, you closed the vents off. You want to see me sweat on it. I got you. No. So you just turn the vents off. Let's watch that fat vampire sweat. He hasn't been in here a while. He sweats when it's an iceberg in here. Let's see how he sweats when it's not. All
right. It's a lot. The landscape of wrestling has changed a lot since we've even covered wrestling. So the champions are unified. So the WWE champion and the Universal Championship title, you know, Roman held the two belts. They're now unified.
You see the confused look on my face.
Yeah. Yeah, he had two belts.
I thought it was just a pretty brand new gold belt now.
Oh, no, it's both of those belts unified.
And it just became gold? Yeah. Right, no. What does Seth Rollins have?
He has the World Heavyweight Championship.
I'm so confused. Okay.
So it's
that's a new one.
A new old one.
A new old one.
Because it's still carrying the Lunar.
I'm so tired and so confused. These kids have got me in another level of confused. How many belts are there now?
Technically, two main belts. I think Triple H was just kind of going back to having two belts, two main belts, but two different belts. I think he kind of tried
to... I figured they missed having a gold belt and wanted to have a gold belt. I don't know.
So I think that was probably... Because it's still carrying the lineage of the world heavyweight, the original one that, you know, the Ric Flair held from WCW.
Okay. I'm totally confused, but... And I don't care who knows it or who thinks it, because, like, they keep changing things on me. Like, you can't keep changing things. Like... So Roman Reigns has one belt now.
Yes.
It's unified.
Yeah, it's undisputed.
Which they were supposed to do anyways when he beat Brock Lesnar, no?
Yeah, but I think it probably looked cooler to have two belts.
No, better for one. Okay. All right, and then they brought back a world heavyweight title.
Yes.
Okay.
New design,
which I saw that match between AJ and Seth Rollins.
Did you like it?
Yeah. I liked it. Why, you didn't like it?
No. Good match. Like
people saying bad things online or something?
No.
I thought it was all right. AJ always works hard. I don't think I've seen AJ in too many bad matches except for that. Is he the one that got buried by The Undertaker in that back in, was that AJ? Back in the, it was AJ back in the.
When COVID
and stuff like that. Yeah.
Like, the cinematic matches.
Cinematic match, yeah. Other than that, I mean, AJ's always has good match. AJ Styles is always having tremendous matches. Mm-hmm. So, and Seth Rollins. Like him or not, he always has good matches too. So I like Seth Rollins and I like AJ. So yeah, I enjoyed that match.
I don't know how we didn't even have we. Well, obviously we would have got to it, but the return of CM Punk. Pretty sure you've been seeing that. He hasn't officially returned on screen yet.
Okay. Well, I heard stuff. I mean, I'll hear like Cornette's clips come up. I'll hear other people talking about it. I heard the networks wanted to do this show, but they only wanted to do it, and they were only going to give all this money if CM Punk was on it, and then there's a lot of talk about Ace Steel. They were saying CM Punk was going to come back because weren't going to give Ace Steel an active spot at the buildings and be there live in participation and stuff. So I don't know. It's all over the place. But so he's back, or he's not back. Which one is it?
He's back, but he hasn't made his re-debut yet.
Okay, so it's supposed to be where?
On the new show.
Chicago?
Collision.
Okay, we'll see if it happens, right? If it doesn't happen, what did they name that show after him?
No, it's Collision. Oh, you
The show itself. How they always give a show a title. Was it or something like that insinuated he'd be back?
No.
There was a name to it. Name to the show. Collision. Collision's the actual show, but they gave the show at that venue.
I didn't.
A title or something.
Mm. Yeah, you're right. His AEW Collision debut episode to be named The Second Coming.
All right, Raymond. So we agree it was called The Second Coming, but we don't know now.
I confirmed it.
You confirmed it. So it's Second Coming. All right. So hopefully CM Punk comes back. I like CM Punk. A lot of people don't. He's always been cool to me. I think he's good for AEW wrestling wise and ratings wise, talent wise. Daniel Bryan's really great for him too. But I don't know, what is this show replacing AEW Dark and Rampage? Are these shows non-existent anymore then?
Rampage is still going to continue. So what I did see was Rampage is going to be filmed when Dynamite is filmed, and Ring of Honor is going to be filmed when Collision is filmed.
Do you see all the pictures I see, like that people, like, speaking of gossip and stuff like that, I don't know if it's true or if it's just people hating, but I'll see people post pictures and I'll go, oh, tremendous house, AEW, and it'll like be like just the lower tier seats spotted in, and then the rest of the arena just empty.
Yeah, I've seen some clips.
And then, you know, and they sold out Wembley, but I get Wembley because I wrestled in England, 18, 19 straight years for 6 months at a time, 3 months go and 3 months back, so 6 months out of the year. The English fans are tremendous and the support of it. If a big event's going to come in, they're going to attend that one big event. You know, they're going to show up, attend it, and support it. So that one I get selling out, and I understand that totally. But I don't know what they're going to do if they don't start. I mean, I don't know if it's true or not. It could just be people hating. It's not my opinion. I don't know. Putting up just random pictures before the building opened or something, or after it's closed. Or it could be when they're dragging out Ring of Honor tapings is what made me think of it. Like when they're cramming all those tapings in there, people will just watch the main show and leave, or they'll come in just for the Dynamite itself or something and then take off. I don't know. But I've been seeing a lot of pictures out there. I don't know. Have you seen any of that stuff?
I've been seeing it, but kind of what you said, I experienced that like firsthand when it came, like I think last year to Miami. Like, yeah. I didn't, I think they tried to cram too many shows in one setting, and
I just got too long.
Yeah, I just couldn't, like,
Well, I mean, much like the wrestling matches of the wrestlers, the attention span of people are short now. They're like, got a lot of things to do. You got cell phones in your hands. You got grandkids to chase. You got bookings to make, flights to buy, groceries to get, deliveries being made at your house when you're not home, and you still got a job. You got to get up in the morning. So, yeah, people's attention spans, it's tough to expect them to sit there and carry on through a long night, 3 or 4 hours of wrestling. You know, it's hard enough to sit for 2 hours of exciting wrestling, knowing you got so much more to do in life. So, yeah, I mean, that could be a problem. So if they split it up and just do a little bit Dynamite in one show, and then just do the Second Coming, whatever it's called, a Collision show and Rampage or whatever together, I don't know. And maybe that'll work out. Maybe it'll work out much better for them.
How do you think the fans are going to react to CM Punk?
Yeah, I think they're going to like him. I mean, I don't know. Why not? A lot of people don't. People like to not like people. So even if they're there booing them, they're there. So, you know, either way, it's a good thing.
If you're Tony Khan and CM Punk is coming back after all this that just happened.
Tony Khan, I wouldn't have had CM Punk back, or I would have fired the other people. I wouldn't have did any of this nonsense. Oh. somebody had been fired and stayed fired, and I stuck to my guns and bought somebody's contract out with all my money. I would have drew a line in the sand and stuck to it and said, hey, this is it. I'm the boss. And then I probably would have rehired all my people underneath me and got people in that will support the business itself and what I want. But who knows what he wants? I'm not into meetings with Tony Khan. Maybe he wants all this craziness. I have no idea. maybe he likes all this. But I definitely, if it was me, I would have, I don't know, I'd have reevaluated. But you can't have vice presidents of company fighting your talent. You can't have them fighting. It can't be in these scrums. I wouldn't even be doing these scrums and going out there where letting people speak freely like it's a media thing, because nothing you say is free in life. You got to answer to everything you say. So you get in there and you start bashing your coworkers. It's never good. So I'd get rid of that. Yeah. You know, I'd keep everything as private and internal as I could, and handle all my problems and send people home with 3 month suspensions. If you don't like it, then let people go if they can't get together and get along. And then I'm gonna book by numbers. I'm gonna book what's gonna make money, what makes sense, logistically, logically, all that. I mean, it's gonna handle it like a business. It ultimately, at the end of the day, is a business. You can't, everybody cannot be your friend. You cannot have 36 friends on your payroll or on your talent roster. You just can't be friends with them. You could be the cool boss. You could be the really hip boss, the boss that understands. But to personally be friends with everybody, it's not going to work. Yeah. At some point, at the end of the day, you got to draw a line and say, listen, I'm the boss. What I say goes. Vince McMahon has no problem with that. You know, Brian Dixon, rest in peace, passed away. This is a promoter in England that I work for, Brian. And he would call wrestlers like, they're a bunch of animals. He would say this and this and that. He didn't pay you a whole lot of money. You know, he was known for being really tight with his money. But at the same time, I was friends with him, and he would take, like, so I would argue with him over a penny of pay, you know, literally a dollar or down to a penny of money. I'll argue with him, get in a heated argument. But yet, a half hour later, he'd be like, come on, let's go out. And then he'll take you to dinner and spend $400 or $500 on you at dinner. And I'd be like, Brian, I'd rather have, why don't you just give me that money instead of arguing with me? He goes, as soon as you learn, business is business and friendships are friendship. They're totally separate. Business is business and a friendship's a friendship. You got to separate the two. You have to run one way, and you got to handle the other way. Once you understand that, you're going to be all right, and you can last. And you can still have friends like that, but you still have to run it like a business. It's got to be a business. No matter your friendship, you can't let your friendship get in the way of business and what makes sense and what's going to, what rationally makes sense, logically, logistically, all that. I don't even know what I'm talking about.
Make it perfect sense.
Business is business, and friendship is friendship. And it's okay. He spoiled our friendship. That dude, Brian, treated me, I consider him family. He'd take me, like, we'd argue over money all the time, over this little bit of stuff, or like, even he did these backstage passes, and he would never give you a cut of it, but, you know, you'd be like, hey, you had me out there after the show or something. And I'd mostly be joking. He goes, you're an object, you know. But he was making money, and the only way you can make money is to be tight with money to run that many shows to keep pushing forward. That is the only way you're going to be able to be successful to continually run a bunch of shows and continually have people coming in and continually have a year-round job, not just the summer job or not just the fall or winter. You know, he was 300, you know, they ran shows every day of the year if they could, and it was, you know, sometimes two times a day. So he had to be tight on that business. And at the same time, we'll go have he said, let's go over here and have some tea. We're early to the venue. We'll sit over there, and he'll buy me a $70 bottle of cologne. He goes, yeah, object. But he can't. I don't know. It was going through extremes to show me the differences of business and friendship. But he was a good man. It's a sad loss. And, you know, I miss Brian Dixon a lot. I feel really bad that I didn't get over last October. I pushed things off, and I ended up going over to England for one shot that I wasn't even on. Originally, it was just supposed to be two Ireland shots, and they mixed an England shot in there, and I didn't see him, and I felt really bad. And, you know, tomorrow's not promised to anybody, so if you got somebody that's weighing heavy on your heart and in your mind, and maybe you should go see him, because nobody's promised tomorrow, and he's gone now. My love to his family, the Queen, Letitia, Joseph, and his sister. He loved his grandkids too. He also taught me on his business, friendships, and then his family. He taught me that. I learned a lot from him. That's where I always pick up the six P's from. You ever hear me say the six P's?
Yeah.
Proper planning prevents piss poor performance. That's one of his sayings, you know. Friday traffic. That's another one. I'll say it a lot when I'm riding. I'll be like, yeah, you got to leave early. Friday traffic.
So question, because that's a new one. The first one I heard. I always hear the business and the friends. But what's the difference what's the difference with family?
What's the difference with family?
Yeah.
Family's going to come before any of all that. Okay. Like, yeah, your family, he'll say the show must go on, but he always made time. Like, he didn't for, like, his daughter. He didn't make as much time, but she was on the job with him, so she was working on the job. But then when the grandkids came, he started making time and realizing time is short. You need to spend it with your family, too, so you can't be business 24/7. So when your family's not, when it's at a minimal thing and it's not grown to a level where you got grandkids and kids, you work, you hustle and you grind. But then when you have that free time, you gotta, you know, he'll take all the money he made from the business and everything and he invested into his family and he give his grandkids and everything a great life and stuff like that.
You were speaking about the media scrims and pretty much how you think he should get rid of it. Do you think is it contradicting when you're trying to put together a show and you're creating like a storyline or a story, and then the guys go out and they're talking freely and it kind of contradicts?
I just think it's more crap. The less you expose your wrestlers to the media, I think it's better, especially because you got social media, you got Instagram, Facebook, and you got all these levels of Meta platform, all this crap they're on, right? You got all that. So they're out there enough on their own. Then you got them on TV, Wednesday nights and Friday nights and on a YouTube channel. I think less is more. The more, yet it's a different generation where people want to know the wrestlers, this and this and that. But I think, yeah, dial it back. Less is more. The less they see you, the more they want to see you. The less they know about you, the more they want to learn about you. If your stuff's always out there, blah, 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 there's no mystery. I think CM Punk being gone with a little bit of controversy makes him more want to be seen more. I want to see him more. I'm like, oh, well. This guy, he was in here for like 6 months and there's all this trouble. Let me go see this guy. Because he hasn't been around. He hasn't really defended himself much. He has said some stuff here and there. It's come out, you know. And when he does, it blows up everywhere. Everybody's writing some kind of clickbait thing. CM Punk this. Or they say the same thing about whoever, Tony Khan. I don't know. But not sure what I'm trying to say. What was the question here? What, should the scrums be? I don't like them, no. So, I think they're trying to do it maybe because he owns football teams and soccer, football, European football teams and stuff, football team.
Wasn't that
maybe his, like they're used to doing that?
Wasn't that his goal when he first started was to make it
more sports like wins and losses count and all that? I guess, but look what happened.
Yep.
You're in a scrum, and you got your talent back there fighting in the locker room. You got one out here burying the talent, getting hot in the locker room because you took a jab on him where the whole world can hear it and you can't get it back.
Yeah, they
need to go in the room with each other, sit it down, and he needs to say, I'm the boss, this is what's up, you don't like it, you're fine, you go home for 3 months, you go home for 3 months, let's come back and reevaluate this, if it's the same, somebody's got to go.
So
who's drawing me to the less numbers and I find the less valuable is probably going to be the one to go if I can't make a decision on who's right or wrong. But when I wrestled coming up, and I still wrestle, you know, every week, but like not on a mainstream company, but they would go in another room and like, if me and you, something happened between me and you in a match or something, I'd be like, Raymond, let me go see you over here in the shower. So let me go see you over here. Be like, we got a fucking problem, dude? Are we good? Or what's going on? Are you having a bad day? Or are you mad at me? Or whatever. And it would go from there. You'd be like, yeah, I got a problem. You go, all right, whatever. You want to fight it out? Fight it out. Or if I did something horribly wrong, I'd probably say, go ahead, take your shot. Go ahead. Like, I'm sorry. Didn't realize I did that. I didn't know that was your wife. I'm not. Like, or whatever. I'm just joking. But you worked it out in another room. And then maybe sometimes it came to blows or something. But then you shook hands and said, we're good, you know, and you move on. Here, they just go online to cry out loud. And then the rest of the world picks up their cause for them. And like, when all this... it's like a little pimple, you know. Instead of taking care of it, or when you popped it, putting some kind of, cleaned it with alcohol, or put antibiotic cream on your cut, or whatever it is, you let it get so infected, it's beyond the point that it's dangerous, you know. Mm-hmm. And then it becomes from dangerous to life-threatening or job-threatening, you know. You got to take care of it right away, whatever it is. It's simple. Simple cut, a simple problem. Go in another room, work it out immediately. You can't just let it fester and let a bunch of people pick at it and pretend to play doctor and give you this, that, for that. Oh, you need to do this, you need to do that, or get out there and give their opinion here. You need to go in with the boss and the two people that have the problem, go in another room and work it out. You know, if it's suspensions and fines, then that's what it is. They come back, you reevaluate it. If it still isn't worked out, then somebody's got to go. Give them a choice, which one you want to go, or you just pick whichever one business-wise makes sense. But you got to do something. You can't have chaos like that. You're never going to move forward with negativity. You have so much negativity, you leave no positive, you know. Like, negativity only breeds negativity. Like, we got people crying over here about this in this camp. You got people crying over here. That's two negative forces drawing all this other negativity to them. Assume the whole room's consumed with negativity, not just that side, not that side. The whole room is consumed. If it's positive, I mean, if you go in there and you're a bad guy and you have to cut one of them out, that area is cleared up, and there's no negativity for this negativity to grow or feed on, it's eventually going to dry up too. You're just going to leave empty space for positivity, you know, more put positive in. This is going to draw positive energy. It's just...
Do you think he bit that bullet because he knew whoever he would have let go would have potentially ended up in WWE?
No, I don't know. I don't. If you think like that, it's craziness because there's no competing with WWE. No disrespect to anybody, but there's no competing with WWE. Even under bad days, they're still like ahead and above and beyond. A whole different thing. It's totally different. AEW is more wrestling. Yeah. Hey, let's go out there and wrestle and have a good time, which is cool. And there's always a place for it. But you can't have all that negativity. WWE is a machine. Packaged promo, grinding, just a big vicious machine. They've done it so long. They're so good at it. I could miss a pay-per-view and 4 weeks of TV and watch the next pay-per-view and not be lost at all with the video packaging. They're just so well-placed. They've done it so long. They know what they're doing. They got it down. When they do change, they don't change a lot. It may seem like that to the rest of the world, but it isn't really backstage. It's still a well-oiled machine. Where AEW is like, it was fun, and then it became chaos. It was fun chaos, but then the chaos had started attracting too much negativity to it, and it didn't become fun chaos anymore. It was negative chaos. And then negativity started breeding negativity, and then you got what you got. But as a wrestler, like if I was a younger guy coming out, like, if I had talent like these guys had, or if I could still go like these guys could, and they go, oh, where do you want to go? Get AEW or WWE? I would say AEW if I hadn't been to WWE, because you can go wrestle, you can be more creative, you can do some of, you know, things that make sense to you that you don't feel like you're being held back. Well, WWE, you're definitely going to be, you're going to be restrained, guided, and toward, but that's why they are where they are, because they know what works for them, and they're going to keep you within their guidelines. they're controlled chaos, you know, they're controlled. That's control over there. Where this is uncontrolled. Like they're controlled. They're not gonna let you you're just not gonna go off the reservation or you'll end up fined or fired or whatever. But and at AEW, it's just I would probably want to go there because I'd be like, oh, I can go there and do like some German suplexes. They won't ban that or tell me I can't do this. They won't. The main event won't stop me from doing these and this because it's too similar. I'm making them look bad. Every match is supposed to out-top each other. So if I had the talent and I was younger, I probably want to go to AEW because that would be more attractive and appealing to me because you can go wrestle. It's a wrestling company. It's what it's kind of branded as a company where you just go wrestle and you have fun. But they started bringing people in from that other side, the other WWE. They started hiring these people in who understand the system and everything. Now, they want to have fun, and they know how to have fun and be a little bit chaotic, but they still are groomed now. They know how to be successful. So when they come in and it's so unorganized here, and people are just running so wild like the Wild Wild West, that's where you start having all these conflicts and stuff because they don't want to be a part of that big war machine of a system, but they come and there's no system at all. It's overwhelming for them not to like say, what are you doing? You know, like even though they don't want to be a part of that system and they go, oh, I don't want to be there. I want to go here because I want this. But when they get there and they realize how uncontrolled it is and how wild, wild west it is, it's like, it's very hard for them to adapt because they were groomed. They were programmed to be successful. And then they came over and then it's just, they know you have to have discipline. Somebody's got to be in control to be successful. You got to be disciplined. You can't just go rogue or it'd be everybody would be shooting everybody. It'd be like South Florida here, man.
It reminds me of that the F word, freedom.
Freedom. What about freedom? Where are you going? Some political crap? No, I'm just rambling on, making up shit. Now you're coming out here around. You're just gonna make up bigger shit with freedom.
No, what I'm saying is, it was an artist. A quick story. An artist said he asked his label for his masters. He was like, I want my masters, you know. And he said the dude who runs the label asked him, what are you going to do with it? Like, carry it around in a suitcase? And the guy said he took that as disrespect. He didn't know why he said it at that point in time. But he said what the dude was trying to tell him is, us, the label, we know what to do with your masters. We know how to work it, license it, put it in movies, get it on NBA. Mm-hmm. If I give you your masters, you're not going to know what to do with it. So, yeah, you have it.
Sit in a suitcase over there and somebody just beat him out of it. Yeah.
They were saying, like, you know, you have the freedom, you do all this cool stuff, but I mean, I don't know if the machine is.
Guidance.
Another thing I was going to ask, from your opinion, do you think the product of wrestling really changed because of the business? Like, let's say back in the day, it was more geared towards filling the house. Like, the income was filling the house. Now they get most of their income from, like, TV, like, from media and TV. So all the shows, like, constructed different. You think?
Yeah, but COVID really showed them that could work. You know, when they went into the lockdown, when everything went into lockdown, they realized they made more money in lockdown. WWE did than they did touring with all the house shows and all that. But they're back to the house shows and stuff now. But and they're still filling the buildings. WWE, but COVID opened eyes to a whole lot in the world that you could do things, but it was positive in some ways and negative in others, but it's just the way of the world. But what's wrong with wrestling? And I don't know if it's wrong with wrestling, it's just where it's at. I mean, you know, they can handle business however way they want, but the thing with wrestling is I forgot what I was gonna say.
We'll talk about the business landscape of wrestling.
Oh yeah, so I think the thing with wrestling and where it's at, I mean, yeah, granted, maybe, yeah, they realize that, you know, it's marketing and revenue, different things that they don't even have to have people in the building. COVID showed them they didn't have to have people in the building to make more money than they ever could. They let go more wrestlers than they ever did and said they were doing it for budget cuts, but they made more money ever at market in that quarter, whatever it was. I don't understand business, but yeah, they made more money than they did before. But it's just generational. It's the generations. It's not just wrestling. It's these guys, like a lot of the guys coming up in AEW, and the guys at WWE too, until they go and get controlled, they're the same. They just get harnessed in over there. Is you grow up watching, you guys, like you, Raymond, you're a product of that. Video games.
Yeah.
Okay, so you play a video game where one girl samurai, not against girls, but one little girl, 5'2", with one katana blade, can go in there and kill 30 foot soldiers that are like, whether they're jacked or not. So she, one small little person, whether it's a girl or a boy, can go in there and kill 30 of these big monsters guys, right? And you grow up watching that, and you grow up watching the movies, action movies. It's the same thing. They used to be like, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger's and all, but then action stars became like Jackie Chan's or different things as you were coming up, and more geared after video games and stuff. So everything's fast paced. There's more flips, this and that. It's not like the era of wrestling when I was watching wrestling, where I was at 6'2", 240. I was considered, they were like, oh, well, you'll never be a heavyweight, but you'll be lucky to be a junior heavyweight champion, you know, like you know, like 220 or 240. I think I was 220 when I started. And but I was considered very small with a slim chance. But wrestling kept evolving and changing a little bit. And then, you know, I found my way and got lucky or blessed or both at the same time to find my way in doing a vampire character and stuff, which wasn't very accepted when I first started. So, you know, things change, but it's just video games and movies. They influence the style and stuff. And so wrestlers are more athletic now, agile. They're smaller. It's like watching a movie, The Rock in The Rundown. You ever see that fight scene in The Rundown?
I remember the movie, but
where they're fighting and they're swinging through the trees and stuff. That's just what people were growing up watching now. And that's what they see. That's what they want to do. And that's what they picture a fighter being or a fight scene being. And that's what they picture wrestling being. So, you know, you can't blame them. It's generational. I mean, I'm sure things will go in cycles and we'll come back around. Soon it'll be all like cyborg things or something again. Who knows? But it's just chaos, though. You can't have negatives. You know, we were talking about Tony Khan originally. You know, you got to lay the law down, you know. And you got to keep business, and friendships, you know. So those got to be separate. You got to go in and unfortunately, you know, you could still like somebody and be friends with them and say, hey, I'm going to suspend you for 3 months because you can't do this, you know. Mm-hmm. I got to do this. Friendships aside, this is business. And then we're going to come back in 3 months and we're going to evaluate where everybody's feelings are. And if you've stayed off social media and you're not buried each other, you didn't took shots at each other, and we can work this out, we'll move forward or we'll give releases and, you know, buy you out or whatever. If he has all the money that he says he has, and, you know, buy him out. If they want to go to WWE, then let him go. Why would you want somebody that wasn't happy there fighting there? Why would you want an unhappy environment and an unhappy talent putting like negative vibes out in amongst your product and your people? Negativity is like, I hate to use the word cancer, but you can compare it to a cancer. If you don't cut it out, it's going to grow and kill you or kill your locker room. You know, like, it's just going to consume it. It's going to consume it in a dark, negative way. And so you got to separate it. I know I'm rambling on, and I'm not by no means bashing AEW or anything. Like I said, if I had a choice, if I had never been to WWE and I had the talent these guys have, which I don't. I don't have that athletic ability. I can't even remotely picture doing some of this insane stuff they do, which is very artistic and battle arty in their own way. If I had that talent, I would probably choose AEW because the freedom of being how to express your talent and to be called a wrestling company and just be wrestling, where that's more of an entertainment and like they lead more towards, you know, the acting and promos. But it's a well-oiled machine, WWE. They know what they got to do to make money. They know what their revenue, the market is, the sponsors want. They know what they got to do. They do it. They take you there. If you want to be there, you don't want to be there, they let you go. They don't keep you. They say, go on over there. Go join chaos. Go do your best at it. Or come over here. We'll make you a star in 3 months, you know. And you know, even if you do a year in WWE and a year in AEW, nothing against AEW, you do a year in WWE, people can remember you in WWE. You're a star. If they give you any kind of push, you do some pay-per-views, you leave there a superstar. Not just a star, you leave there a superstar. And just is what it is. They just got to get control and put some discipline down. And I don't know. It started out with, like, I like CM Punk. So, and I still do. He's never done nothing to me. Granted, other people called him out and said stuff that he's a cancer in the locker room, this and this and that. But I never had dealt with that. So I can't speak on anything I've never dealt with that. He's never been negative to me. He's always been positive. And when I'm speaking about the chaos in locker rooms, I'm just observing from I've been in WWE. I've only done a couple shows there, so I've not spent a lot of time in the locker room. So I make this observation of just what I'm reading and the chaos and the headlines and the backstage fights and the scrumps and the media attacks. And I'm just making my opinion off of that, not actual facts that I've been there and say, hey, it's a bad locker room. You know?
No, it's crazy that you say that, because someone from your peer group, Billy Gunn, he said something kind of similar. He said he doesn't feel that CM Punk is as toxic as everyone thinks he is. He said all he cares about is what CM Punk can do for the company. So he has that business and like company mindset.
It's
like
a business mindset. It's a business. That's why at the end of the day I would lay it down and be like, what business is best for me? And I'd say, hey, this is what we gotta do. You guys take 3 months, think about it. Like, we can't work it out, then let's think about something else. But this business sense makes me, hey, Warner Brothers or whoever it is, came to them. I don't even know. I'm pulling a name out of my hat. I don't even know. Whoever came and said, hey, we're going to give you all this money, but we want CM Punk on the show. That's business. And you need that money. I don't care how rich you are. You need money to make money. You got to have money to come in to justify it. So it comes down to business. There's friendships and there's loyalty. There's all that. That's here. Business is here. And then you got family over here, you know. So
I think that's another thing you guys always preach, especially Rusty Brooks. He would always preach. You guys always speak about going into business for yourself. And I'm only bringing that up because I see how obviously I'm not there, but I personally feel like a lot of those guys, like just for example, like the Young Bucks or something, they may not care what CM Punk can do for the business, like overall, which will help the whole roster. Mm-hmm. I think that it's kind of like, I don't know, jealousy. Like they don't care that CM Punk can bring them more views. Like they want to be.
Yeah. Well, see, like the Young Bucks, they're the ones that brought me in. They had me come in. It wasn't Tony Khan or Matt Hardy. It was the Young Bucks that brought me in to do that last appearance I did in Las Vegas. And I've known them since.
I just use them as an example.
Yeah. But I mean, I'm just saying. But that's when we keep referring to this fight, that was the fight. That was these guys all fighting. Ace Steel, CM Punk. The Young Bucks, they were all in the fight, right? The chairs being thrown, one of them got a black eye. I mean, everybody obviously knows that you're referencing to them because we're talking about the fight. But they were the ones that brought me in. They're great. They're just a different generation. They're loyal to their friends. I mean, they probably seen people like Hulk Hogan be loyal to his friends and bring them through Brutus the Barber Beefcake, and then how the OGs would do stuff like that. And they're probably just trying to do stuff like that. And they're thinking like, why is this old dude coming in here and shitting in our Rice Krispies, man? Like, we started this company with him. It was just supposed to be us. And this comes down to Tony Khan. It was supposed to be us building up. We weren't going to use all these other people, which they weren't. Remember, I don't know if they said all that. They were going to build a company with all this new talent. And they went and they hired all the young people. But eventually they had to bring some of the outsiders in that had been to the other, you know, the show, or big players at the other show. And it's just God's problem. So it's probably like, in a way, they might be feeling like, well, we were promised one thing and this is bullshit. This and this and this. So it might not just be CM Punk. It might be, if you think about it, it might be what Tony Khan promised them. And he ain't really coming through with it. But they're not going to go F you, Tony Khan. Like, but they're gonna say F you CM Punk, and then I'm gonna have the problem there. But it could be with Tony Khan, because he promised them one thing and then he's brought all these people in and done another thing, and it's swaying a different direction now than what they were promised.
So you, as an experienced OG, like what are your opinions or experiences with promises in business or in life general? Like, do you ever,
man? We'll go all the way back to what I started out with when I was talking about nobody's promised tomorrow, man. Like, promises, unicorns. I don't know, man. If they even exist, you know what I mean? You could say you saw a unicorn. You could say somebody made a promise, but like they follow through on that, it's a whole other story. Business, friendship. Like, if it's in your friendship circle, somebody promised you, okay, maybe better. Somebody promised you something over here when you're doing business, I don't know, unless it's written in paper and you sign your name on a dotted line and your lawyer says, yeah, no, it's on paper. That's the only promise I know about in business, is the contractual. That help answer your question?
Oh, no, yeah, perfect.
Okay. Yeah. But you believe in that unicorn too, though, don't you?
I believe in mermaids.
Ah, you mean a mermaid. I thought I seen you wearing a unicorn shirt the other day.
No.
Unicorn shirts are dope. I just don't believe in them, that's all.
I believe in mermaids, though. But just another
story. Sirens or mermaids?
whatever you want to call it. I think there's
same thing, right?
Human fish thingies in the ocean, bro.
Well, there's a lot of things in the ocean. That's a whole other episode. You could do a whole other podcast about the dark, deep abyss of what goes on there and the Bermuda Triangle and the those time warp holes and different things. And
we can have a conspiracy show. We go hunt these things out.
My niece went to she's driving out to California, and I didn't talk to her, but my sister told me she was so disappointed. She got the Roswell and goes, "Ah, there's nothing here." She thought she was going to go there and be this giant, X-Files town, UFOs and stuff.
What is Roswell? What is it?
Roswell, New Mexico, supposedly where Area 51 is. They kept the UFOs and all that. But mm-hmm. She got there and realized it was nothing but a little beat-up town and some desert. And maybe a bunch of secrets in the desert that you'll never know about.
I mean,
it was very disappointing. They drove out of their way to go to Roswell.
I mean, they wouldn't. That's probably was Area 51 was probably a distraction.
I think they need to go down to places like, you really want to see some UFO stuff, you need to go down to
Key West,
Chile or something, and that big salt lake thing out there, that dry lake they got. And there's a place out there, I can't remember the name of it, or I don't know, man. Go up in Alaska. So I think the UFOs are chilling in spots that are not heavily populated. Nobody goes to where they can get away with that. I do believe in UFOs. I'm not sure what type of aliens or anything like that. I'm not going to go out and say there's grays and this kind or this kind of alien. I don't know, but definitely believe there's life out there. And I'm I'm 40% on Bigfoot, 50 Bigfoot. But that's it's probably no Bigfoot, but I would like to believe in Bigfoot. But aliens, I believe there's UFOs and stuff like that.
Do something like that on a future episode. Maybe. Mm-hmm. But the passing of Iron Sheik.
Another person lost. Was he 81?
I think it was 83, if I'm not
83?
Mistaken.
83? He had a crazy long life. I've known Sheik on and off. Sheik would call me over, David, he's nice and young man, and he'd run me all over the place going, him or Fuji would always had me running and getting them some kind of food or sodas. And I thought that's what you had to do because you're paying your dues and stuff. And then Afa of the Wild Samoans would come, son, stay away from these guys. They're bad men. Get out of there. And he would save me and pull me out of there and send me off to go set a ring or something. go do something for them. But he did. He tried to protect me from all their craziness and the Sheik's craziness. So I was around him a lot, off and on, in that kind of way. It's just his shows and TVs. And then I did a roast. I forget what, if it was his birthday or what it was. It was out in California. It was at the Comedy Store. So they did a roast for the Sheik. So they had different people come on, and I came out and went on the stage and did it. I'd never done stand-up comedy or anything like that. It's supposed to be a roast, and I just kind of, when I got there, I looked around. I can't even remember who was there. It was a bunch of wrestlers from the 80s and stuff. And I said, man, the only thing missing from this stage is some Ninja Turtles, because there's so many 80s things going on, different people. And I don't know. It was cool, but I wasn't around them a whole lot. But what I was always memorable, and I'll never forget him. And he was always kind and nice to me besides, hey, cool, have him run and get him some food or sodas and stuff like that. But that was all cool because that's all part of it.
Did you ever have anyone?
I wrestled the Sheik too. If you go back, you'll see me wrestling him in 1987 or something. He'd cover me with the Iranian flag after he beat me.
Is he really Iranian?
He's something. He's one of them. He's from over there, man. Yeah. It's not like he's made that gimmick up. He didn't.
So the accent and all that is
I think he might have been in the. I don't know his history, but because I can't even remember my own name half the time. But he was I don't want to say Secret Service, but he was something for overseas and stuff like that. He was in some kind of protective thing and stuff where he was a guard or security for the Ayatollah. They used to say he was a security for the Ayatollah. I don't know. You have to go Google all that, man.
I will. I think I seen him probably in a few Dark Side of the Ring cameos, if I'm not mistaken.
No, I haven't seen any of that. I mean, I have seen them, but not none of the Sheik.
They started the new season. Have you... Of course, you probably don't have time to watch.
No, I listened to it. I didn't watch it because I was outside doing cardio in the sun. I was walking the dog, trying to get a two-for-one, trying to get, yes, son, I'm a tan pirate. But I was trying to get the dog in I walk in, get cardio, get sun. So 3 for 1. I was trying 3 things for 1. Walk the dog, get some sun and cardio all at the same time. So at 4, I listen to The Dark Side of the Ring. So actually, I got 4 things for the price of 1. I listen to the Chris and Tammy, Chris Candido one. And it's much like Luna's. I think they tried to they didn't try to involve too much of the negative stuff. They couldn't get around it though with the pain pills and the somas and stuff. And but it was all right. I didn't see the second one they have out now with Magnum TA. I don't know. I didn't watch that. But Chris Candido was a great guy. He loved wrestling. The time I was around him, it's all he talked about was wrestling. He loved Tammy. I sympathize for Chris a lot being with Luna all those years. I'm not saying Luna was doing like the things Tammy was doing, but the things ran parallel with the drug use and suspicious stuff, you know, some ups and downs. So it's a very hard life. So to say he didn't know anything, he would know. How would you not know? It's just that you cope with it. You learn to survive in your own ways. You learn to accept the things you can change and the things you can't and what you can live with and what you can't live with. And you move forward. And obviously he couldn't live without professional wrestling on earth. So he kept moving forward. And unfortunately, as they cover in The Dark Side of the Ring, pro wrestling, the love for it, trying to make the towns to make everybody happy. And ultimately cost him his life with a blood clot from surgery in his ankle. So it was a sad loss to professional wrestling, a sad loss to, of a human being. But he was a great guy. And everyone's all right. I get a little worried about watching those. And, you know, I didn't want to do the one with Luna. Mm-hmm. But I did it after a lot of thinking. But because, you know, some of them have gone so sideways that so much bad stuff have come out of them or leave such a negative, dark feeling over you. You don't want to be a part of spreading or supporting any darkness. But of course, it's called The Dark Side of the Ring. You're going to get around that. But I don't think that one was so, so bad. And we got you to understand, help people understand Chris Candido more, that maybe just thought, maybe only seen him doing drugs or maybe, you know, whatever. They could see his whole story and understand him a bit more. And you could see him in a better light, you know. So see him for what I seen him. He's a great guy, a great human being, tremendous wrestler.
Hmm. All right, well, do you have any big projects coming up that you can talk about?
Big projects besides getting busted at the Marlins game the other day when I was playing hooky. Was that the game? Then I took my grandson to the game because he's never been to a baseball game. So I took off from the wrestling school. I was like, I'm going to go. So I kind of like, say I was playing sick, but I kind of just went. I went to the baseball game. It was in the middle of the week. It was Wednesday. And then you look up and you're on the big screen and you're like, you know, like busted like Ferris Bueller. You've never seen Ferris Bueller's day off, but felt like Ferris Bueller when he was supposed to be homesick from school when he was out of the Chicago game. And, you know, he's downtown dancing on a float and stuff like that. But that wasn't a project, but that made me, the project, it made me think of Championship Wrestling from Florida. They did their first 6 tapings. They did it here. They were supposed to do the next one be July 8th in Tampa, but I'm not sure if they changed the venue or the date on that. But that was successful with Kevin Sullivan. That went good. There was a champion crowned. You know, it's just a reboot of Championship Wrestling from Florida. So what's old is new, you know what I mean? You change it 10%, make it original. But they tried to keep this more original, not change it as best as they could. Just use younger talent, current today talent, unknown talent that they wanted to build up in their own market and stuff like that. A lot like AEW wanted to do in the beginning. Mm-hmm. With all that. But I was one of the older, probably one of the only older guys wrestling on it. I would like for them to bring other ones in. But I think it came down to be honest, like budgeting and stuff like that, to have a bunch of guys not wrestling just to be there. But eventually, hopefully, if it gets picked up, because that was a pilot they were shooting. It was basically like pilot episodes. They're trying to get like 10, I think, in the can, or maybe 12. Mm-hmm. But they're shopping it out. So hopefully it picks up. And it was a fun show. It was successful at the best it could be. I thought it would be a lot more disastrous. I thought it would fail, even though I was a part of it and Kevin, you know, and I trust his writing and me following his lead. I trust all that 100%. He's so wise and so smart, and he's just brilliant gentleman. And But I just thought it was so much. Everything that could have went wrong that day that it was the taping was happening went wrong. The electric blue breakers, fuse box, had to get an electrician. Anything could go wrong that day. Cancellations, this and this and that. But it still ran off. It, you know, if I had to judge it on a 1 to 5 of success out of 1 to 5, it was a 3. And I really thought it would be a 1-. So it was a higher 3. So that's good. And that's me being, you know, I'm really negative on stuff. So maybe in somebody else's eyes, it would have been better than that, you know. So
is this filmed all in one day?
6 episodes is filmed in 2 days. Okay. 3 and 3. So there's 6. They filmed it on a Saturday, Sunday, just like 2 weeks ago. And they're going to get the other few more in the can. And right now, I know there's a lot of talk, and they're talking to different people, and they're shopping it around. So fingers crossed. Hopefully it pops up. If not, if it doesn't, then got them in the can, and then we'll just run a really awesome, like, live stream somewhere. You know, you got so much streaming, it's actual TV, but I think they were trying to shop it to an actual network. But if not, it'll end up on a streaming service. It's good enough. It'll be fun, and it's very, very vintage and retro. Stay true to the formats of the old Championship Wrestling from Florida with the times. Had the people in the ring with no ring music. You know, they had some people call them star makers or enhancement guys. Or there's matches that are only 2 minutes to just build the other guys, get them over. These first 6 episodes were episodes where you got to know a person and start deciding whether you liked this character or this person. There was no real angles except for myself with Alex Chamberlain, because we're more known in South Florida where we were taping, so we could carry the energy of the show and stuff, so they'd have something people could relate to at these tapings, so it wasn't just like, who's all these guys? Where's it going? You know, as they built people. So we were right into an angle, a feud, and we blew it off into 6 months, or 6 weeks, the 6 tapings. We wrapped ours up at the end of that 6, the last hour. But as we wrapped up, all the other ones that they were building through the 6 were set up to go into feuds and angles and stuff like that. So very well, it came together. It was a foundation, and it all built, and it's working. And I've learned so much from Kevin like that. That's the stuff I was learning. You couldn't, if I would have made a penny, which I made money on this already, but if I would have only made a penny or I had to pay money in, it was worth it. The knowledge was, you couldn't pay for the knowledge I got and what I learned sitting there as we wrote the 6 shows and then thought about the 6 other shows into the future and where things were going and stuff. So I realized how lucky I was in wrestling how lucky I was in sense, like when I would run my shows, I ran shows, I just repeated what I seen and got lucky, because I would say, no, you do this, you do this, you do this. And I put it together and I thought I knew why you did this and this and this. I just happened to get lucky. Because there was so much more to it, and working with Kevin Sullivan, I learned how wise and wins and how strategic it is all the way through, and how deep a thought goes into such small things and things that we would overlook, other people overlook, but they're key factors and key things to something 8 months down the road or pushing somebody this way into a certain direction and character. So production and times and runs and stuff. It was just I learned so much, so I'm blessed to picked up that knowledge, and I hope to continue picking it up and moving forward, because you can't wrestle forever, and the stuff I'm learning is stuff that's going to make me a better wrestler while I'm wrestling, but it'll even give me an afterlife and in professional wrestling, doing behind the scene things and stuff like that. So it definitely was educational, and I'm very blessed and happy to be a part of it. So that should be, you gotta keep your eye out. Championship Wrestling from Florida, it should be out there. They're releasing little clips from it here and there on Coastal Championship Wrestling to keep people updated and stuff on it. So you can look out for it on there and stuff like that. But where am I at next? So this weekend, tomorrow, I get on a flight. It's Friday here. We're filming on a Friday instead of a Tuesday, but I'm home on a rare Friday. I probably wouldn't have made it in this week if I was working today. Salt Lake City. So I'm off to Salt Lake, back home. And then, God, I don't know. I'm somewhere every weekend, every Friday, Saturday, Sunday. There's so much going on. I'm off to the UK.
Are you going to UK?
Going to England and Scotland mid-July. I think like July 13, 14, 15. I'm actually doing a thing that you always want me to do, sit down and one night with like Gangrel, sit in a theater where no bumps, no nothing. I think I do a seminar maybe earlier that day. I'm not sure, but in the evening, I'll sit down in a dinner theater with a stage and talk and entertain questions from the Attitude Era and talk, and then get on a plane and fly home that Monday and back to class, teaching class. So, yeah, I'm busy still. The school's still going good. If you want to be a professional wrestler, you check it out. Go to Coastal Championship Wrestling, CCW. I'm there Monday through Thursdays or Monday through Wednesdays, 6 to 10. Usually floating around there from 4 to 11, really, or 4 to 10 for sure. But, yeah, you can check that out. Come on down. They're running shows. They got a show in Kissimmee tonight. They tried to get me on that, but I said, no, I'm going to fly out in the morning. And I didn't want to go all the way to Kissimmee for the 3 hours and come back and be on a 5 a.m. flight or 6 a.m. flight. I think I'm going to take a little rest tonight. You see how tired I was. I've been mumbling through this whole podcast today, and I want to apologize to everybody coming on here that I'm mumbling, that just so tired, my mind's so fogged up, but just hadn't had a free chance. And I have been watching wrestling. It just happens to be a lot more WWE I've been watching and stuff like that. What's going on? What else is going on in WWE before we get off there? We had the Rollins and AJ match, and then Brock and Cody. They did what they could do in that. I'm talking about the pay-per-view from Saudi Arabia, wherever that was. That was cool. What else is going on? We had some title changes too, right? Asuka. Asuka's a
Bianca.
Asuka put the purple or green gook in Bianca's eye, and not happy about that. But
oh, you're not happy about that?
Well, you got to change it at some point, but hopefully Belair gets it back. I don't know.
I think it was getting stale with the fans, so I think that's why they switched
it. Yeah, maybe the hair is switching up some, but I would love to see Bianca Belair as a heel. That'd be awesome. I think she'd be a tremendous heel. Because I don't know about all the hair swinging. I never was with the hair swinging, but as a heel, I could get behind her with doing that as a heel. So maybe that'd be pretty cool if that would happen. But what else is going on in wrestling? You been watching?
Naomi going to Impact.
Oh, Naomi. And who did she debut against? Twilight.
I see. Oh, yeah.
Jay with an I, Vidal. Jay Vidal.
Backstage cameo. I'm just like,
damn. He called me up and says, oh, I got arrested there. And soon we'll have another one out, another name that signed with NWA, I could tell you. But I promised her I wouldn't put her name out there. But she signed, or she's reading her contract to sign. Hopefully she's done it by now for her, if that's what she wants. So hopefully we can talk about that next time we come on here. I'm happy for her. A lot of good things. Matodi's good. I think he's got a Florida driver's license. I think the guy's a citizen now. He's well on his way.
Really?
Yeah, he's doing good. So looking for him to move up the ladder and disappear soon to a bigger company. Damian Fenrir is being managed by Dan Lambert in the CWF Florida. Like, he's looking really good. So things are going on from him. Lakai. If you don't know Lakai, but I can't think of his business, but if you go onto his Facebook page, he's opened his own business. So he's not wrestling, he's still wrestling, but he's doing massage. You know, he's a sports stretcher, a professional stretcher, and he does massage, deep tissue, all that. So if you listen to this, so you're in the Boca area or the South Florida area, you go to Lakai. I think his Facebook's called Lakai. Moniti Romaine. But you can check it out. Maybe Raymond. I'll send Raymond a flyer. You can put it on here because help him out, man. He's out there just trying to do his thing in the world. He didn't realize when he went to start a business, all the business license. I told him, don't trust what I told him. He went out there. He tried to open a business. Next thing you know, they show up on him. You need this. Or you need this in your bathroom. Or your power needs this or this. And he was so stressed. Like, I could see it on him. Like, but it's not easy to start your own business. But I'm proud of him. And he has, man. So he's doing good in the world. So, but his wrestling's coming on, too. So, and he'll be looking good. He'll be part of that championship wrestling from Florida, too. So a lot of good things going on for people that I care about, people I trained, and my business circle, my friend circle, and my family circle. All my three ring circus is doing good. Business, family, and friends, it's all doing good. So life's good, and I'm blessed. And I guess, well, we'll wrap it up with that. That's probably episode, 72?
Yep, 72.
72 of Fang and the Bang with a mumbling Gangrel, and then Raymond, who's had a foggy brain because he's still thinking of being back in Japan and missing Japan. He says, I'm going to go back to Korea. I'm like, you ain't been to Korea yet. You've been to Japan, racist ass. It's easy to confuse, but just don't go to the wrong. There's Northern Korea and South Korea. Don't go to the wrong side. You'll be over there with no electricity, and you really find out what trouble is, you know. But I've been to Korea. That's where I ate dog at. That's where I ate the dog.
Well, you've been to South Korea, or you've been to the North Korea?
Ah, we get me mixed up. Which one's a good one? Which one's a bad one, Raymond?
The good one is South Korea.
Yes, because the DMZ. I've been to the DMZ too, where the military told me how they'll take pop shots at their like higher uppers and stuff like that. But I know I wrestled down there. That's where I went after the Korean kickboxer guy. I went to Korea, and that's where they were taking me out every night. And I was with like these, I guess you could call them mafia guys, Korean mafia, whatever they might be called. Not Yakuza like Japan, but Korean, whatever their version is. And they took me out every for a week. And then at the end of the week, I realized that special food I was ordering that was really good was actually like baby huskies, little puppy dogs. Blew my mind, but none. It's the only time I ever broke down on an overseas tour and wanted to go home. That guy Leatherface was there too for that, the one that has the video of the fight with the kickboxer. He has that. Like, he was there. He witnessed that. He witnessed me cry. He's like, oh, I've seen you get shot on and fight a kickboxer and this and that and wrestle sick and almost have your arm, whatever, different things, and you're going to cry over this? Yes. I was going to cry over eating a dog, and that's how I will end this. So people, be kind to your woof-woofs. Because somebody might be somebody else's dinner the next day if you're not paying attention to them. So pay attention to your dogs, take care of them, and love them. And remember, nobody's promised tomorrow. That was episode 72 of Fang and Bang with Gangrel and Raymond. Take care. Peace. Want some?
Get some.
Bad enough. Take some. Just don't take my gun.